Back to another episode of It's Okay to Feel. I'm your host, Craig. This week we have something a little different for you guys. Steve was recently interviewed by multiple radio stations, and the host of the interview was kind enough to share it with me. So I thought you guys all might want to hear it. So we're going to add that on to the episode this week, and I hope you all enjoy. Thank you.
Open Line. This is Open Line. Thanks for joining us. My name's Tammy Heidi, and joining me is Steve Pittman. He's the NAMI Orange County President and Board of Directors. So thank you for joining us and making some time at this busy time of year, Steve. How are you?
You're more than welcome. I'm glad to do it.
I'm glad to have you to talk to because, you know, family is getting together. It's a stressful time for a lot of people, and mental health is of the top importance. And I think, you know, we got an education of sorts in these past few years of dealing with COVID and isolation. You know, suicide comes up a lot at this time of year. Am I right about that?
You are right. Suicide rates have always been higher than we would like them to be, but COVID really spiked those rates, as well as for things like anxiety and panic disorders and depression. And I think one of the reasons for that is that we didn't have the person-to-person, eyeball-to-eyeball kind of contact. Interacting with people over Zoom, although it's better than nothing, is quite different than interacting with them when you're actually in the room and you can kind of reach out and touch them and say, no, really, how are you?
Right. I know. Just when we needed hugs the most, we could give them the least. So,
well said, yes.
There's exactly some irony in that, I guess, some great irony. That human contact, just human touch, sometimes just a hand on the shoulder, just knowing.
Exactly right. I so often, as most people do, I greet people and I say, well, how are you? And as in most situations, you get the perfunctory, well, I'm fine. And then, no, really, tell me how you are. You know, I want to know. And usually the second time you get quite a different response than you did the first time.
Yeah. Persistence. Keep asking until you get the real answer, you know.
Yes.
Isn't there a NAMI, is the saying mental illness or mental health is a family affair?
Well, certainly that's something that's spoken. I wouldn't say that that's our motto
okay.
or anything like that. But
okay.
generally, you know, obviously families are involved, and sometimes what families do kind of exacerbate the problem, and sometimes they help to heal the problem. So how they behave in the face of mental illness is important.
Right. Well, did you want to share anything about your story, your family? I read something from the OC Register about your
long
brother.
Long ago, you have quite a memory. Yes, I was interviewed by the Register. It's got to be close to 15 years ago. And I was the one that was interviewing, so I was telling the Register about my experience as a result of my brother's schizoaffective disorder. And toward the end of the interview, the lady that was interviewing me said, well, do you think your brother would talk to us? And I said, well, geez, I don't know, but I would be happy to ask him. So I did. And he agreed to meet with the two of us, but it primarily was with her. I was basically driving the car that got him there and got him home. And the two of them started talking in a coffee shop, and I was at the table as well. And I thought, gee, this doesn't sound like mental illness at all. This sounds like a job interview. And I was curious about it. And finally, the lady said to my brother, well, tell me why you've had so many jobs. He did not respond quickly. You could see the wheels were turning. And he finally said, well, it's because of my mental illness. And it was difficult for him to say, but, you know, things inevitably would go wrong in the work environment that he was in. And I would say that mental illness certainly contributed to it. And again, this was 15 or more years ago, and I think employers were not quite as receptive to people that were living with a mental illness as they are now. I think it's changed some. I don't think we've gone as far as we need to go, but it's changed some. And the sad part of the story is that my brother continued to try to get jobs almost until his death, and he was convinced that the reason that he couldn't get a job is because he had done the interview with the Orange County Register, that the owner of the business that he was applying for had read the article, you know, 15 years before and remembered and therefore would not give John a job. I think that's very unlikely, but that was John's perception of it.
Because of the stigma, right?
Yes, and they held the fact that he was mentally ill, they held that against him.
Right.
In this particular instance, I think it's very unlikely that they even recalled it, but in his mind, that made the difference.
And so your brother having that mindset, that probably furthered or made him think or made him maybe not want to pursue any longer.
Absolutely. Just reinforced what he thought.
What he thought.
And certainly there's stigma, so I'm not arguing that there's no stigma at all. But I think John had been stigmatized many, many, many times. And so it wasn't illogical for him to assume that this also could have been some sort of stigmatization.
Right. So you talked about some things have changed in these 15 years since your brother's example and that article in the OC Register. So what has changed? What has changed for the better? And then let's talk about what we need to work on with mental health.
Sure. Well, I think the change is there's much more receptivity to the idea that somebody might have a mental health problem. But you notice I've changed the language. I didn't say a mental illness.
Right.
I said a mental health problem because most of us really don't want to deal with a mental illness, again, because of stigma. But everyone needs to deal with mental health problems. It's not unique to those people that have a diagnosable mental illness. But it's more easily talked about if we talk about a mental health problem than if we talk about a mental illness.
Exactly. And so, yeah, I'm sorry I had brought up illness, but I had written down in my notes to myself.
You weren't wrong, but I find myself many times in groups of people, particularly audiences where, you know, I don't know exactly where everybody's coming from. It's much easier to discuss mental health than it is mental illness. As I sit there and look at any audience, I know that one out of five people in the room has a diagnosable mental illness this year.
Right.
And of course, they all squirm in their chairs when I say that and kind of look at the people on either side of them thinking, well, I'm okay, but maybe you're not.
Yeah, it's one out of three, so it's not me.
It's, yeah,
you
exactly.
know, the guy or person to my left or right.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, health has good connotations. Illness has bad connotations.
Right.
So it's just as basic as language.
You, exactly. And you know from conversations and the work you've done in this area that about 50% of the people with a diagnosis of mental illness never seek treatment, ever.
I didn't know that statistic, and that's astounding. We're talking with Steve Pittman. He is with NAMI Orange County. He's the president and on the board of directors, and we're talking about mental health. You know, we've got a new year coming up, and so, you know, people want to refresh, renew, but you've got to be coming from a place of strength and wellness. Let's talk about some of the programs that NAMI offers and, you know, maybe what's ahead in the new year.
Well, I'll start with a couple. The first one is we teach a class called Family to Family, which is about 8 weeks long, and it's evidence-based class, so we know that it works, but it's taught to families. Classes, incidentally, are all free of charge to the participants, but we know that families that know more about mental illness, their family member with the mental illness does better when the family has the kind of knowledge and understanding that comes through taking family to family. We also have a class called Peer to Peer, which is a class that's taught by somebody with a mental illness to people who have a mental illness. And again, the reason for the class is to help them understand better some of the basics about mental illness so that they can be more effective in dealing with their own mental illness. We are launching a program after the first of the year with a grant from CalOptima where we are going to pair people who are just getting out of psychiatric units with someone who's been down that road, that is someone who's been in a psychiatric unit, has a similar diagnosis, and pair those two people together in a mentorship kind of way so that the person doesn't just get released from the psychiatric hospital, but they have someone that they can talk to about how they're feeling, where they might go to get more services, and those kind of things. And where that kind of thing has been tried in the past, it's very effective at reducing recidivism rates, which is something we'd all like to see. But we're very, very, very excited about that.
That sounds great. That, I mean, it sounds like it kind of maybe works in a way like AA and you have a
exactly
sponsor.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Exactly right.
Awesome.
And we're calling that NAMI by my side.
Okay.
So these journeys are always easier when there's somebody else making it with you. Exactly. And that's what we endeavor to do. And of course, we still have our warm line, which last fiscal year, we took 121,000 calls. And it's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we have people answering the phone who are empathetic to the people living with mental illness, because for the most part, all of them have a mental illness of their own. So they understand what it feels like better than most. And obviously, that's exciting for us as well.
So besides the warm line, also, since we last spoke, 988, the national number, came out. Yeah, so suicide prevention. So that is, you know, there's a wealth of health.
There's a wealth of help.
There's a wealth of help and health. So
We just have to get people who are willing to open the door to seek it.
Right. And so how do you do that? Is that the million-dollar question?
I think you talk about it in ways that are compassionate and empathetic and understanding, and that people know that this is something that I can always talk about in front of Steve or in front of somebody from NAMI, and because there are certainly groups that you probably wouldn't want to talk about it because of the judgment that would ensue. But that's one of the reasons why at the beginning of our conversation today, I said it's so important to say, no, really, how are you doing?
Right.
And I get all the time, talk to this about anyone else but you. And it's not like I'm really, really close with the people who are saying that, but it's because I really care how they're doing. It's not just kind of a one-off, no, really, how are you doing? No, wait a minute. Really, I want to know how you're doing. And once people realize the door is open and that there's no judgment involved, they want to talk about it.
Steve, how do you feel being an empath in this world that seems to be overflowing with socio and psychopaths?
Well, my mother, when she was still alive, she would say, well, Stephen, she said, I think you finally found your calling. And I think she's probably right. I mean, I understand things that, but for my brother, I wouldn't have understood.
And is that what got you involved with NAMI?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'd never heard of NAMI.
Yeah. Well, tell people what NAMI stands for.
NAMI stands for the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And we've been doing this for a little over 40, about almost 45 years. And we have affiliates in every state. At this point, about 650 affiliates. And we have a state organization in every state. So anyone who needs or wants to seek help can reach out to their local NAMI and call them and get somebody on the phone and start to get answers that are available or resources that are available in the areas they live, because obviously that varies from state to state and county to county.
I like that NAMI rhymes with mommy. Was that intentional?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because about almost 50 years ago, there was a handful of women, leave it to the moms always to lead the way, but there was a handful of women who started somehow communicating with one another, and this was before the days that computers were very much in vogue, and they were doing it in handwriting, and they'd been doing it for a while, and one day one of them said, you know, it would really be nice to actually get together and have a meeting. So they decided they would have a meeting in Minnesota, and I want to say 250 women, moms, 250 moms showed up, and that was the beginning of NAMI.
Oh, wow. I love that. Thank you for telling me that story. A perfect holiday time story.
Yeah,
now I'm ready to be tucked in with a glass of milk and some cookies that maybe were left
there
for Santa.
There you go.
Well, Steve, are you still doing, is there a NAMI Walks? Is that coming up later in the year?
It was late in the year. It was on November 18th.
Okay.
And it's always hard to know exactly how many people show up for a walk because there's so many people.
Right.
But our best guess is around 2,800 people, which we were thrilled about because coming off of COVID, that kind of suppressed or dampened the willingness of a lot of people to put themselves into crowds. So we were thrilled, and it was held at Angel Stadium. The nice thing about that is everybody in Orange County knows where Angel Stadium is.
Yes.
And so we believe that that's kind of a good restart for the walk, and we expect this next year to have even more than 2,800.
And is the donations and such still open on the website?
Bless your heart. They are still open and will be till the end of the year, and I think right now we're within a couple percentage points of our goal.
Okay, so let's hit that. Yes. Let's surpass that.
We take donations from anyone, large and small. Everything's appreciated.
And what is the website, please, Steve?
NamiOC.org.
Okay.
NAMI, Orange County, OC.org.
Okay, so that's NAMIOC.org. Steve
Perfect.
Pittman, it was a delight to talk with you. Thank you for all you do. He's the NAMI Orange County president on the board of directors. And Steve Pittman, happiest of holidays and happy new year. And I
Indeed.
Hope to be talking with you in 2023 and carry on. Thank you.
You're always welcome. Thank you so much. Happy holidays.
You too.
You're listening to Open Line.